Welcome into the Three Count Podcast, where guess what night it is? It's Foyt Night. I'm your host, Dylan Chambers. Joining me is our resident generational podcaster, Ben Hobden. Benny, welcome into the show.
G'day, Dill. How are you, buddy?
I'm going good, mate. Going good. It's wrestling nonstop at the moment.
Mate, last week, and then we've got another big one this week.
That's right. We've got a huge two-part show for you all today. We're going to kick off with a bit of news, run down the AEW Full Gear card, and part two of the podcast, we'll preview Survivor Series, and we're going to have another great three-count draft for you. We're going to draft best tag team faction breakups. Yeah, so stick around for that one. Make sure you follow us on the socials at Three Count Pod on Twitter and Facebook, at Three Count Podcast on Instagram. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube or the follow button on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you've got any feedback, hit us up, 3countpod@outlook.com. Now that's all out of the way, Benny. Let's get to the news. What's your biggest news that you got going around at the moment?
Well, mate, it's only been a couple of days, so there's not much going on. I guess the biggest news that I can sort of come up with is that AEW have given the women's title. It's official now. Thunder Rosa gone with the title, and obviously we'll explain who won, but I'm sure you've already all watched the Full Gear pay-per-view, so haters going to hate.
Haters going to hate, but yes, no more interim in the women's championship title anymore, and they are going back and changing Toni Storm's reign to be as official women's champion as well. We spoke about it last week. Silly that they kind of did it that way. They were, you know, they're putting Thunder Rosa in the CM Punk basket.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably didn't need to do it. For me, Benny, biggest news I've seen, Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay to go one-on-one at Wrestle Kingdom on January 4.
That'll be a big one.
For the IWGP US Championship, Kenny released a statement on all his socials where he basically mostly spoke Japanese, and was just saying that Will Ospreay and all his, auto-translate friends, he's been trying to fill Kenny's shoes in New Japan, and he just hasn't lived up to it, and it's time for Kenny to come back and teach him a lesson. So that should be a cracker.
Absolute cracker. It'll be interesting to see if Kenny uses keeps stirring up CM Punk at all, keeps using his moves after today. So
very, very cool. Drop the GTS in Dynamite today. Speaking of CM Punk, he's now been removed from the cover of AEW Fight
he
Forever.
Has, yeah.
And who's he been replaced by?
I didn't
Kenny
see him.
Omega.
Oh, really? I just seen that he'd been removed, so I didn't see who he'd been replaced by. So there you go. This just keeps rubbing it in, don't they?
They do. They really do. They're still selling all his merch on AEW shop, and
Tony Khan's got to make that money.
Bring that money in. We'll kind of go through a bit of news coming out of Dynamite. Ricky Starks will take on MJF at Winter Is Coming. That should be a good match.
Spoiler alert, but as we said, you've all watched it.
You've all watched it. Now we had Evil Danhausen come out in the pre-show at Full Gear. So a bit of a switch here from Danhausen. He's a bit more hardcore.
Had his jar of teeth and spike.
And seems like he's a better wrestler when he's evil.
It does, actually, yeah.
I've heard talk of what Evil Danhausen was like previously. I haven't seen it myself, but
no, me neither.
This should be fun to see.
I think normal Danhausen was just too comical and just too fun. So
it was. I think he sells a lot of merch.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of merch, which I don't see it stopping just because he's Evil Danhausen, but.
No.
Smart move if he just sells merch off the
back and forth
off the rack. House of Black returned on Dynamite.
They did indeed, yeah.
I certainly didn't expect it when it happened. I thought we were going to get some Evil Danhausen, but no, House of Black came and just destroyed, the factory and Best Friends, and so they're back.
Malakai, welcome.
Welcome back. A little bit, there's not too much going on in the world of WWE news. Benny,
here we go.
We thought we were done with the name changes.
Yes, I did see this one. This one was weird.
Thought we were done with the name change. Mia Yim is now Mi-Chin.
Mi-Chin? Is that how you pronounce it? Mi-Chin?
Mi-Chin, something. It means crazy in Korean.
Okay.
Not sure about that one.
It just doesn't roll off. Like when I was reading it, I was like, it just doesn't sound right. Doesn't look right. Like we all knew her as Mia Yim. So
and they're pushing it too. You know, they had, you know, they had the Good Brothers call her Mi Chin. It's like their pet name for her or something. And then, you know, in a couple of promos, it's been mentioned. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
Now, maybe Vince gave Triple H a call. You got to change your name.
What was that? That was the worst Vince I've ever seen.
That was a terrible Vince. Now, last bit of WWE news, which is good for WWE fans. We've mentioned it a little bit previously, but on December 6th, the WWE channel will be launching on Foxtel, Binge, and KO.
Boom.
So all those platforms, sorry, they're going to have Raw, SmackDown, and NXT live, as well as every premium live event live with no extra charge. So
that's so good. So
huge,
good.
Huge news for WWE fans in Australia. Go and grab a Binge membership. I think it's only like 10, 15 bucks or something a month.
Yeah.
You know, you can always come over to KO for 25 bucks a month to where I live. But we will have all of that and plenty more of WWE Network content on Foxtel, Binge, and KO launching December 6th. So that's very exciting.
Can't wait for that. Just on NXT as well, we had a couple of returns this week.
We did.
Dijak back.
Dijak.
He looked like the Terminator when he came out. I was like, what's going on there?
No more T-bar.
But he did really botch that kick at the end when didn't look good.
Yeah. Do you think he's cheering that he wasn't the one picked to go in the maximum male models?
100%, 100%. And we also have Reggie's back.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scripps.
Who saw that coming?
Yeah, that was weird. What was with that mask, though? It was very weird.
I don't know. Yeah, I think I was expecting a little bit more from whoever Scripps was going to be.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, they do what they do down there in NXT. All right, Benny, let's move on to the Full Gear card because it was a full-on card.
Big show.
We'll start with the first match of the night, steel cage match, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus. Luchasaurus dominated early on. Jungle Boy got busted open. Christian unlocked the cage. The action spilled out. In the end, Jungle Boy hit an elbow from the top of the cage.
A la HBK.
A la HBK and ended the match with a snare trap. What did you reckon, Benny?
Look, mate. I just couldn't get into this match, eh? It was a good match, but I couldn't buy into it for some reason. It just didn't really resonate with me. The whole idea of a cage match is to not go outside and stuff like that. They could only win by pinfall, so that was stopped that whole thing. And then, I don't know, they just went outside. I guess it was to get the table for that spot at the end and stuff like that. But, yeah, I still gave it a 1.5 count, but it just really, I couldn't get into it. And JR and Taz's commentary was just over the top for me. Like, they just kept carrying on with some silly stuff and I just couldn't get into it. But still a good match, 1.5 count.
It is really weird when they just open the cage and start fighting outside because you're just conditioned in your head to think that, okay, once someone's out, that's over.
That's it. Yeah, it's all over. The first person to get out of the cage. That's the whole idea of it. But yes,
I thought it was a good match. I gave it a 2 count.
Yeah.
Jungle Boy's a star. This kind of just solidified it. I still don't think this is the full payoff because we got to see Jungle Boy get his hands on Christian Cage, right?
100%, yeah. Christian Cage definitely has to cop it now. But obviously he's injured, so it'll be interesting to see where they go with that.
Is he, though? I'm just waiting for the time when, like, you know, he pulls it off and he's good to go.
And that'll be his new move as well, probably like the Judas effect or something like that. He'll be using the elbow. Or he'll probably get a pin in it or something like that.
Yeah, one of the greatest finishes of all time.
The old Lex Luger, the narcissist back in the mid-90s, mate. That was his move, the old bionic elbow.
That's true. So. All right. Well, there were no bionic elbows that I remember from this match. The AEW Trios Championship match, Death Triangle and Elite. Elite coming out to carry on my wayward son. Absolutely brilliant stuff.
Yeah, look, they hyped up that entrance though, didn't they? Like they really went crazy for that entrance. It was good.
It's for those Supernatural fans out there, we know that song very well. It's a banger of a song.
It is a good song.
And a banger of a match. Incredible. I won't do it justice by trying to describe what happened, but you know, early on, you know, Phoenix wanted to, they were going to use the Timekeeper's Hammer. Phoenix chose not to. But in the end, he did end up using it when he was about to get one-winged angeled by Kenny Omega. So the pin for Death Triangle, they get the win.
Yeah. How did the ref not see the hammer? come on. I know we've got to play it up and whatever else, but he didn't even try and hide it. The ref was obviously behind Kenny Omega, but I was like, come on, ref, you're better than that.
Well, as we saw from Dynamite, there's hammers everywhere.
Yeah, fair
hammers
enough.
All over the shop. But
it's Benny, just a regular thing.
I gave this a 3 count.
Did you really?
So I thought it was I know there's schmozzy stuff with the hammers, but I just thought between the wrestling and the story, you know, Phoenix finally using the hammer for them to get the win. I didn't expect it. I thought he was going to not do it and
cost them or something.
Yeah, I loved it from start to finish.
Yeah, look, it wasn't one of those typical ring psychology matches, but it was a great spectacle to watch.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And the story they did tell definitely helped with that whole factor of the hammer and stuff like that. Look, I gave it a 2.5 count. I did give it a 2.75 originally, but I just brought it back after watching the Ring of Honor title match. I sort of had to rein in this one a little bit. So
that's understandable.
Yeah, that's the way I did that. But it was a spot fest, but it was really fun to watch. Like so many super kick party again. But yeah, it was fun. I loved it.
And TK thought it was so good. He thought, why not? Let's do a best of 7 series.
Let's do it. Best of 7. So why not?
So they've had Death Triangle and Elite fought again today. Death Triangle won again. So they're up 2-0. It's basically every Dynamite for like the next 6 weeks. I think there's 1 week where it's not on. The next 6 weeks. And then I think a 3-week break before match 7, if it comes to that.
Yeah. Okay. Which it will. Of course it will. They're going to pay this off.
Surely. Surely.
It'd be silly for them to win 4-0.
Yeah, pretty boring. but I guess this is a way of, as we were talking about, I picked Death Triangle to win this one because I thought they're not going to give these guys the titles straight back. This is a way to get the titles on them, but they've got to earn it. It's going to take some time.
Long payoff, it works.
Yeah, so I see where they're going there. What wasn't a 3 count? TBS Championship match, Jade Cargill and Nyla Rose.
I gave it 4.
Look, I won't waste too much time on this one. Short back and forth encounter. Cargill hit Jaded on Nyla Rose for the win. What'd you think?
But the best part of the match was the entrances. The ode to, you know, Eddie Guerrero coming out in the lowrider and Jade Cargill's Thundercatch Chitara outfit. I thought Chitara. That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. Yeah, look, I gave it a 0.5 count, to be honest, mate. I'm not going to lie. It was not fun to watch.
I was probably generous here. I gave it a 1 count, but I gave it a 0.5 for the lowrider and just how freaking cool Marina Shafir looked.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then a 0.5 count for Jade actually being able to do Jaden on Nyla Rose.
Yeah, that's fair.
That was pretty cool. So it got a 1, but the 0.5 counts were earned, certainly not because of the match.
It would have got a 1 from me, except Vicky Guerrero was out there, and I just can't stand Vicky Guerrero, so I knocked it back 0.5. There you go.
Fair enough. What do they do? They need to shake things up with Cargill. Like,
we've been saying it for weeks now, though. Like, who's going to beat her?
So, I mean, today she just fired Kira Hogan, so I guess that's going to be a thing for the time being. Red Velvet came back.
Velvet's back. That's the only probable one.
She's got beef with Bow Wow. I don't know what's going on there.
The four went to a press conference and went crazy, and security had to tackle them and carry them out.
Yeah. So, do you think this is a work?
I don't know with her, the way they were carrying on. But they didn't really go over the top too much. Like, security just picked them up. So it does look a bit workish to me. But
they haven't really explained why any of it happened. So.
Yeah.
Bow
Wow looked really puzzled with it all, though. He was just like, what's going on? So I don't know.
Yeah. I guess we'll find out. But I think she needs to lose the title. I think her having the title is so boring now.
Yeah. Well, it's the Bianca Belair effect again, isn't it? Like, they're both in the same boat. So I just don't know who's going to beat her. That's the problem.
Yeah, I think that's the problem they're finding as well. We then move on to the Ring of Honor Championship 4-way match. Jericho, Guevara, Danielson, Castagnoli, 4 of the best in the business, put an absolute ripper of a match on.
What a match. Another one
you've got to go and watch. Jericho ended up hitting 2 Judas effects on Claudio for the win. That was probably the least pretty part of the match.
I think he did the second one because the first one, he was meant to hit it. And because it didn't look good, I think Jericho being a professional, he did another one to say like that, and that put it over a bit more.
I think you're 100% right. I think he missed the first one. He botched it and thought that's not good enough.
Yeah. And a lot of people wouldn't have done that. You know, a lot of wrestlers wouldn't have done that, but Jericho being the professional that he is, and like, you know, it was really well done, I thought.
All right. Well, I'll hand it over to you for your rating, Benny. Are you going to do it?
It's coming, brother. It's the first one. I'm giving it a three count.
Benny's first three count.
I absolutely loved it. It was brilliant. The storytelling between Danielson and Castagnoli, you know, shake hands, let's get it on. And then, you know, you had Sammy pull Jericho off the pin. They went at it. Then they shook hands. Then he went at him again. Just some of the stuff, some of the moves. And it was just brilliant. They both had Jericho, like, in submissions at the same time. And I was like, what happens if he taps? Who's the champ? Like, so just brilliant storytelling. I loved it. Three counts.
The psychology of putting that match together must be so complex.
Yeah.
But yeah, three count for me too.
Yeah.
Just absolutely great. Go and see it. Now, Jericho defended his title against Ishii on Dynamite.
What about his chest?
Just busted his chest open, which was very interesting.
Proper blood, not just like capillaries. This was proper blood.
And then after the match, he won and then went to go and try and attack announcer Ian Riccoboni and was stopped by Claudio. So I'm guessing we're getting Claudio and Jericho again.
Now, they said hit him with a hard right hand. It looked like a slap to me. I'm not sure, but yeah.
Yes. So that will be at the next Ring of Honor pay-per-view. I'm guessing it'll be Claudio and Jericho, which, hey, I'm fine with. It's fine.
Yeah, definitely.
We then move on, Benny, Saraya and Britt Baker in a bit of...
another barnstormer.
Disjointed's probably kind. It really showed Saraya's ring rust.
Yeah.
I guess the excitement is having her back, right? But having her in the ring certainly wasn't that exciting. Fairly even match. Both women kicked out of each other's finishes before Saraya hit two rampages for the win. I wonder if they're going to rename it. But yes, I gave that one a half count, and JR mentioned it during the match. He said, this is bowling shoe ugly, and he was not wrong.
Yeah, I gave it a one count. I couldn't help but cringe the whole way through it, though, just worrying about her neck, you know what I mean? Like, and Britt was just working on it the whole time.
Yeah.
And she obviously faked that, you know, she had a bad neck at the very beginning, but then just a couple of the moves, I was like, oh, I don't know about that. Oh, I'm worried. A lot of emotion in the match, obviously, as well. And then she did roll over after the match and obviously thank Britt for carrying her through the match. But Britt carried the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
One count for me, very rusty.
Yeah, there was that point in the match where she was selling that she'd done something to her neck, right?
Yeah.
Like bad. And then shook it off and had a bit of a laugh. I didn't think that was funny.
Me neither.
I was really like... yeah, worried for her.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, it wasn't cool. But anyway, she needs work. I think she'll be used for kind of special events. She's not going to be wrestling week in, week out. But she needs to hit the ring and just, you know, maybe she can buy some time at the performance center. I think she needs a lot of work and a lot of time. And, you know, she's only just been cleared, so that's fine that it was rusty, but... a bit more time before she hits the ring again, I think.
Completely agree with you, mate.
And as for Baker, you know, let's see how she handles or doesn't handle being Jamie Hayter's number two.
It's going to crumble.
It will eventually, surely. We go on to the TNT Championship match. Wardlow, Samoa Joe, Will Hobbs, you know, three of AEW's biggest and hard-hitting guys.
Big
Wardlow
boys.
Looked like winning after a powerbomb symphony on Hobbs. Hobbs until Joe hit him with the title, then choked out Hobbs for the submission win. I gave this one a two count. I would have given it maybe a one and a half, but the surprise win for me of Joe, I really did not see that one coming.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And also for Wardlow pulling off some whispers in the wind.
That was, yeah, pretty good. Look, I gave it a one and a half, but Hobbs looked strong. Like, he looked real strong. At the beginning,
he wasn't book strong, but he looks strong.
Yeah, no. Like, yeah. But he dominated both of them at the beginning of the match, which I thought he'd take a step back and those two would go at it. But instead, he sort of took control for the beginning, but then copped it quite a bit at the end.
Yeah. I don't know what they do with Hobbs here. You know, he's going to fade back into obscurity, or he's got to get himself back in this rivalry thing that's with Wardlow and Samoa Joe, surely.
Yeah, well, he doesn't really have much to say, though, does he? He was the one that lost the match, so he can't come out and go, I didn't lose.
Yeah. So, obviously, we're going to get Joe and Wardlow final battle, but maybe after that's done, then maybe we'll get some just Hobbs and Wardlow straight up. I don't know.
Yeah, unless if Hobbs goes back and backs up Ricky Starks again or something like that, but that's well done, isn't
it? Yeah, they need to do something with him. I mean, he is beastly when he's in there, but...
Ooh.
That's TK's problem to figure out. We then move on to the tag team match. Darby Allin and Sting, Jay Lethal, Jeff Jarrett. The faces got the jump early on in this one. They battled all over the arena, plenty of spots. We're getting accustomed to seeing a flying Sting. Satnam Singh catching Darby Allin.
That was crazy. He was so high.
Coffin drop off the top of the ladder to the outside. That was a great catch. Expect Indians to make great catches.
Hey.
Good at cricket. As well as Jarrett hitting Allen with the guitar as he went for the coffin drop. That was pretty good. What wasn't great was Sting's lethal, countering the lethal injection into a terrible scorpion death drop. But then Allen hitting the coffin drop for the win for Darby and Sting.
Yeah, I don't really know what to say about this one. I didn't enjoy this at all. You've highlighted the only good parts, and they were both failed coffin drops for me. That scorpion death drop was terrible. It just looked like a couple of old blokes in the backyard after a Christmas party or something like that. You know what I mean? Like
wrestling around.
Yeah. So I gave it a one count, but that was very generous for me.
I gave it a 1.5, and it was a 1, but it got a half for the WCW 2000 nostalgia.
That's fair. That's fair.
I originally thought that Jarrett should maybe take a break after this. I really didn't think he was going to lose. But it looks like, Jarrett and Lethal are taking aim at the Acclaim now. So
doesn't make sense to me if you just lost, though, does it?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's going to, yeah. I think maybe they're just going to have him keep losing because I don't see them beating the Acclaim.
No, not at all. What happens with Sting and Darby now, though?
Unless it's just one of those things, he's an older guy. He's just going to come put people over.
Unless if it leads to a feud with Billy Gunn.
Yeah. You know what? That's a good shout, actually.
Yeah.
I'd take that. As for Darby, I mean, he always manages to get himself into some random feud before a pay-per-view happens. I hope he gets a good program soon. And
it's just too small for me.
Yeah.
It's just the issue.
I mean, I don't think they're going to break up him and Sting, but as long as Sting can kind of maybe take a bit more of a back seat, maybe we'll get something more out of Allen. But I don't know what you do with Darby Allen.
Yeah, good point.
For me. We move on to what was the AEW Interim Women's Championship match, now a Women's Championship match. Tony Storm and Jamie Hayter. Now, just when you thought it was going to be a tough night for the girls in AEW, this match happens. Absolute banger, I reckon.
Great match.
So many false finishes. Storm had to overcome a shot from the title, with the title from Rebel, busted her nose wide open.
And that was bad too. That was bad.
Curb stomp from Britt Baker on the outside and a crowd that was red hot for Jamie Hayter. And it was all too much. Hayter ended up using an exposed turnbuckle, hit the ripcord lariat for the win. Jamie Hayter, your new women's champion.
Yeah, Hayter's going to hate. This was a solid match. They clearly have great chemistry together. You can see that they've worked together before. And just Storm's nose, though, that was like flowing claret there for a while. I was a bit worried about that. I thought they were going to stop it for a second. And I thought Britt botched the whole corner post trying to get that turnbuckle cover off. It looked like it was botched, but obviously, she was meant to get hit.
It was supposed to, yeah.
But Tony Storm botched the headbutt into the corner. Like, she just too far away. That was sort of unfortunate and sort of put a bit of a damper on the finish. But it was a brilliant match. And like you said, so many false finishes. But yeah, I gave it a 2.5 count.
Absolutely. Me too. 2.5 count for me. Plenty of shenanigans, but that was all part of the drama,
Yeah, that helped.
Can Tony Storm overcome, all these odds?
Yeah.
So we got Thunder Rosa out of the picture now. Surely they're going to have a rematch of this one.
Oh, you'd have, yeah, run it back straight away.
Or do we get a triple threat with Britt Baker? Because I really, I picked Jamie Hayter to win, mostly because I was excited to see how they're going to coexist now.
Yeah, I don't think we get a triple threat yet, especially considering Britt just lost to Saraya. So, I mean, she's got that L on her record at the, one of the biggest pay-per-views for them of the year. So I think she just takes that back seat for a minute, and then you just start to see the dissension within them, and it just starts to build and build and build and build and build, and then that'll lead to the big payoff.
Yeah, sounds like a good way to book it. The AEW Tag Team Championship match, The Acclaimed and Swerve in Our Glory. Another great match between these two, culminated in Swerve slapping Lee after he refused to use pliers, and Lee just leaving and leaving Swerve to fight by himself, which led to The Acclaimed taking advantage and getting the win. I gave it a two count. What'd you think, Benny?
I gave it a two count as well. It's not as good as their previous other matches. Obviously, the arm injury to Bowens was like, you could see that that was hampering the match a little bit. And then the finish, you called it, we called it, you know, we said that that was going to happen. Hence our draft later on, you know, the whole breakups. But like I messaged you straight away, I would have loved to have seen Swerve overcome that and win the titles just to see like where they go from there. Because then you go, you know.
Certainly something that's never really been done before, right? Like one tag team partner leaves and they're heels.
Yeah, and then they win still.
And then they win.
Like, what happens there? Like, how, where do we go from here? That would have been a great, like, just spanner in the works. Nobody would have seen that coming. But, you know, The Acclaimed, they're on a high, big pop. So, yeah.
And it seemed like, you know, Swerve and Lee, okay, they go into a program now. But they had words off camera on Dynamite. It didn't seem to be aggressive. So, you know, maybe they tease it out for a bit longer.
Even when they were coming to the ring, you know, like he was like, you know, fist pump and he wouldn't do it and stuff like that. So there was already that whole, it wasn't going to work. Do they tease us, keep teasing us? I don't know. Yeah.
It did make me think when they had words on Dynamite, how good would a badass heel Keith Lee be?
Unstoppable.
Who's stopping him?
Yeah.
And Sneaky Swerve as the sneaky heel behind Keith Lee. Geez, they could really do something with that.
Yeah.
And of course, as we mentioned earlier, it looks like The Acclaimed are going to be feuding with Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. Surely you think there's an FTR match coming up at one of the next pay-per-views. I mean, maybe they got to keep it, you know, simmering for a little bit because there's still obviously going to be 3 months till the next pay-per-view, but FTR, The Acclaimed for all the gold.
They have to hold all the gold, don't they?
Yeah.
The Acclaimed aren't winning it. FTR are winning that if that happens.
But I think they're going to keep FTR away from The Acclaimed for a while because they want the title run to be half decent and build these guys up even more. So you will have people like Jarrett and Lethal just kind of put them over, I guess, until we finally get that big match.
I don't mind it. Oh, I don't like Jarrett and Lethal doing it, but I don't mind the fact of like looking at FTR down the track.
Yeah. But they got to feed him someone.
Fair.
We move on to the big one, the AEW Championship match, John Moxley, MJF. The devil got his due as MJF defeated Mox for the title. He worked babyface for most of the match, chose to not use the Dynamite diamond ring, but after some ref bumps, old Regal slid the brass knucks into MJF, which he used and got the win.
How did we not call this, really? Looking at it now, it just seems so like it was obvious. Always going to happen. Yeah. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, I guess they say, but MJF was so over in that match, like, and then just the ending was just brilliant, like,
absolutely, just,
the crowd
masterfully just, done.
Yeah, it was good. It was very good.
What did you give it?
Look, I gave it a 2.5 count, but I was probably leaning more to a 2. But just the fact that MJF won the title, I gave it a 2.5. I thought that avalanche paradigm shift that was pretty crazy. I thought he'd like fully broken his neck when they landed because he just landed so wrong off the ropes. But it was a great match. Great storytelling, MJF champ. So
I agree. I gave it 2.5 count as well. Loved it all. Loved MJF's press conference.
Oh, I was just gonna afterwards, mention that. Yeah.
Which was
my favorite fantastic line from it was like when he comes out, he goes, "To still believe me when I put this mother effer over last Wednesday," and then he goes, "Grow up," and looks at Tony Khan, and then he goes, "No offense. but grow the F up. Like, I was just like, yes, that was so good.
Just buried TK, buried Mox.
It was TK just didn't know what to say. He just sat there. Like, he was like, what's going on?
It was just a buried all the wrestling journalists there.
Yeah.
Just a two-minute rant, and then he left.
Yeah, just walks off. I'm going to my movie set.
Yeah.
It was so good.
So MJF is going to get Starks at Winter is Coming. You would assume that Starks is putting over MJF.
Yeah.
You know, surely we run this back at some point, Mox and MJF.
Well, when,
on Dynamite, yeah. Mox told Regal to run and never come back. Don't think that'll happen. You know, Danielson begged him not to hurt Regal. So, you know, it's almost more interesting what's going to happen with Regal now. Will he still be a part of the, you know, BCC? Will Mox leave?
Do they push Mox out? That's the thing. Like, because the other boys will just be like, no, we still need Regal. So then they push Mox out. Do the other guys become heels? But then you've got Castagnoli going up against Jericho. So, I mean, that doesn't really work either.
And I thought, are they going to run it back and do Mox Danielson again? But I think it's been done.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see if Mox takes that time off that he wanted.
Yeah.
That he was going to take off before CM Punk's the whole debacle. So they could do some sort of injury thing. MJF could, like, really beat him up or something like that. Then they could go from there.
Yeah. Well, we will all find out coming up in the next couple of weeks of Dynamite. There's some big shows coming up. But that is it for part one of our podcast going through AEW Full Gear. Stay tuned for part two for our Ultimate Survivor Series preview.